San Diego, what's up? Wow. We got some, how you guys feeling tonight? Any particular reason? What do you think? Okay.
I haven't been watching the news. What's going on?
Yeah.
Joe Biden has secured his best ever primary finish.
That's
number
right.
Two in Nevada.
San Diego.
That's right. We're going to Scranton. We're going to Wilkes-Barre. We're going to Wilmington. We're going to the one Costco outside Wilmington.
San Diego, I got one question for you. Do you want to win the Nevada caucus by 1 point or by fucking 30 points? That's right. San Diego, we are 3 for 3. We are going 3 for 3. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Bernie Sanders has won the popular vote in the first 3 states of a presidential primary, something that has never happened before in U.S. political history.
Unprecedented. Breaking records.
Smashing all records.
An absolute masterclass.
Absolute yes. Masterclass, San Diego. So we're here to tell you, it's working. Bernie Sanders' campaign strategy is working, as we saw demonstrated dramatically in San Diego. And our strategy is also working. By that, I mean coordinated online harassment.
It's true.
Don't let the results
speak for themselves.
Don't let anyone tell you that it's hurting your candidate or you have a better use of your time. So San Diego.
It's really like what the British Redcoats would complain that the colonial Patriots would hide behind trees or something when they shot them. And they would be like, that's not fair. It's like, sorry, motherfucker, it works.
San Diego, with your help, with everyone here in this audience tonight, we've gone 3 for 3 so far. Iowa, 1. New Hampshire, 1. Nevada caucus, a fucking massacre. A fucking slaughter. With your help, San Diego, and the rest of California, we will leave this state with all of your fucking delegates in our back pocket for Bernard Sanders. That's everyone in this room. If you do your part, every single delegate could be ours by Super Tuesday in this, the biggest and second best of all states. Okay, all right. So, I'll kiss your ass for a little bit. It is, of course, it's great to be here in San Diego. The weather is beautiful. The city is just good vibes all around. We're coming from Las Vegas, where we were beset on all sides by just legions of Tyson Fury fans. Just feral British people wandering around a casino.
It was so good. Because you could see them coming, and you didn't have to hear them speak to know who they were. Because they were all the color of lobsters. They were all in like Conor McGregor tight-fisting 3-piece suits, but just bulging like overstuffed sausages. Half of them had shaved heads, just like with stubble birds and shit. Oh. And you're like, those guys are British. And then they'd get closer and they'd be like, oh, bruv, it's the bloody Brexit.
Yeah, it was like a Fallout game. Like, just everywhere, there was like a 3-day period where every time like I got back to our hotel, I would be accosted by a different class of Brit enemy. And like, I went into this the week of the Nevada caucus fearful of rat mode. But you know, we saw that rat mode has a cooldown. You cannot use rat mode for another 5 turns. until you cannot use rat mode until there's voting at like a 98% white state.
It's been downgraded to mouse mode.
But we found a new thing though. It's called masterclass mode.
Yes.
It's you're bright orange all the time. You're just blackout drunk somehow from the moment you get up. Like your body fucking metabolizes air into Newcastle. I was like, I feel like the Brits made Tyson Fury win just by sheer force of will, just by pure English unpleasantness. Just by the pure evil aura of being drunk and screaming for 18 hours a day. But no, like we are adopting masterclass mode into the Sanders movement.
Absolutely. And so like I said, San Diego, it's gorgeous here. We've been feeling great all day long. We've recovered from our week in Las Vegas, which is longer than anyone should spend in Las Vegas.
No, it's like you should spend as much time in Vegas as you should cleaning up on top of the roof of the Chernobyl reactor.
I didn't think we were all going to be here tonight.
Honestly, yes.
Well, we had a great time nonetheless, but initially, upon arriving here in San Diego, like when we're on tour together, a very interesting thing happens, and it happens to
all of our periods sync up. It's real. It's real.
This is another magical thing that happens to this happens to Felix, and every time we're in a new place, he just sort of Felix is our green seer. That's the thing. He has prophetic energy abilities.
It's uncanny.
He has prophetic energy and abilities. And
he paints the light.
And he wakes up in the morning and he just wargs into like a new archetype of the place that he is visiting. So he has discovered a new warg character that he can sort of inhabit and channel. Felix, would you like to explain who the San Diego SoCal guy that you're channeling now is?
Bear in mind, he did not interact with San Diego or San Diegans in any way.
Literally did not.
He did not leave his hotel room at once.
He's a pure empath.
Yeah.
I tried to go to the gym and it was closed, and I just watched like Halo lore videos until the show. Like I didn't fucking talk to anyone really. But so like the moment I woke up today, I like felt, you know, another person's vibe. And I was thinking about a type of person very familiar to Southern California, San Diego specifically. I was thinking about a guy named Jackson Tyler Jackson. He's like an assistant minister at an evangelical church called like Rock or Reclamate. And he has like dark eyebrows, but like very like noticeable, like shitty blonde hair. All his sons are named Jackson, but with an X. And he thinks the UN is after his ministry that he's embezzled $875,000 from. And he hits on 16-year-olds at skate ministry. But that, like, I'm not saying it's okay or endorsing the actions of Jackson Tyler Jackson. But this was the energy I picked up here. The SoCal evangelical male. The 50-year-old with a pinstripe shirt with an open collar that, like, reveals a T-shirt with some, like, idiot fucking evangelical phrase on it that's, like, you know, it's, like, you know, calling shotgun in God's car. But if any of your, I assume most of your fathers are like this, I would like to hang out with him before I leave tomorrow.
San Diego, you have long boarded your way into Felix's heart. Yeah.
I love it here. I love Minister Jackson, fucking Minister Corey Trevor Daniel. all your guys who just have like, they have the shitty wide face from being alcoholics for 40 years, but they keep getting Botox and they're like, you know, it's really been downhill since Obama legalized abortion in 2012.
In their studies, they've all got framed their theology degrees and their real estate licenses.
Yeah. All right, San Diego, let's take you back, though. Let's take you back to last night. All right? All right, so just going down the line here, like just share your initial thoughts on the, like I said, absolute masterclass that we witnessed last night in
Folks,
Nevada.
It was a masterclass. There were tears in our eyes, literally.
What can you say about it? I mean, I got one thing, but it's about a reaction to it. But
I think it's good. I'm in favor.
I mean, I gotta say though, I mean, we fucking needed it because I gotta say, I mean, Iowa, we know what happened. You know, we saw what happened that night in Iowa, and, you know, I was clawing my fucking eyes out that whole night. New Hampshire, it was like 3 or 4 hours of being in like a big college basketball gymnasium.
Tense, and
just
like just, oh my God, it's getting close.
Fucking,
what's
like,
happening?
Every molecule of my body just like twisted into a little figure eight or whatever. Just waiting, just call it. Just call it. Fuck, I need this so bad. Fucking yesterday, we were having lunch and we were just like, 5% are in. They just called it for Bernie Sanders.
Prop, prop, prop.
It's amazing.
Feels good, right? It's not bad. It's not bad.
Oh, it feels so good.
Just calmly, you know, reading the results over polenta at Spago at the Bellagio. It's great.
In Iowa, like, we were just pacing around Will's room in our motel, and I was just so like, oh, fuck, we're not getting any results. I'm so nervous. We need this. I went back to my room to, like, play video games, and everyone on my Discord was doing the same thing we were doing. They were just pacing around in their fucking headsets. I couldn't escape it. New Hampshire, yeah. I think I gave myself like 3 subdermal infections biting my pinky nail. But like this, yeah. I was just like looking at the margin grow as the day went on and wondering if I could get to like in another Adidas outlet before we had to go.
Well, okay, here's the... We're gonna take you back to like when we last broadcast to you, which is, you know, right before the debate in Nevada. But I just want to like, you know, take you back to last night, because here's something I want to start off my night doing a reading series for you. This is a selection from
reading.
This is the abridged version of the Pete Buttigieg third place mega thread. That he posted last night. Now this is, all right. Here's the first one. That's how it starts. But Chris, just give them the scale of the thread. Can we see that? That's
that is cringe.
And you know, and Chris pointed this out, and he's 100% right. He's doing these mega threads just to delay, like, so you can read it. You have to read it for a really long time before you just see like a sea of rat emojis and the replies to it. So. This was Pete's reaction back when he thought he finished second. All right. So I'm going to just begin here. He says, I believe we need to defeat Trump and turn the page on this era in our politics by establishing a tone of belonging, bringing an end to the viciousness and the bullying that is tearing apart our country.
Oh,
I mean, I don't know. Vicious bullying is actually bringing me together with all of you.
Look at you guys.
People tonight. Look at all these people. Don't you feel the love? Don't you feel it? I mean, not towards this asshole, but that's the point. He says here, I believe the only way to truly deliver any of the progressive changes we care about is to be a nominee who actually gives a damn about the effect you are having from the top of the ticket on those critical frontline House and Senate Democrats that we need to win. Yeah, so the guy that got 0 delegates in Nevada, he's definitely going to be a big boost down ticket. The guy who has less black and Latino support than Seinfeld when it was on TV is going to be a big boost down ticket for the Democrats. All right, so he says, Senator Sanders is ignoring, dismissing, or even attacking the very Democrats we absolutely must send to Capitol Hill in order to keep Nancy Pelosi as Speaker.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be priority number one.
Wait a second. Wait, she's from California. Don't you guys like her? Is she good? Wait, what?
I heard these guys all love Nancy Pelosi. That's what I heard.
Yeah, at least there's not a shitty Democrat congressional leader from New York, number one.
He goes, we can prioritize either ideological purity or inclusive victory. We can either call people names online or we can call them into our movement.
No, we can do both. We can definitely do both.
That, yeah, you got to admit, that was kind of fire. You have to admit.
You have to hand it to him.
Yeah, you really do.
No, it's the calling people names online. That is the siren song that is bringing people into the movement.
Because they're like, I want to stop getting people making fun of me.
Oh, yeah. We can either tighten a narrow and hardcore base or open the tent to a new, broad, big-hearted American coalition. It gets a lot worse.
It's just gibberish.
Everyone knows all of the hardcore broads are, in fact.
Yeah, it's not cool to call Amy Klobuchar that word.
All right, here's what gets... natural enemies, though.
Here's where it gets really bad. Let's see. We need a new slide for this one. Let's see the next one.
Yes, sir.
There we go. There we go.
Love to light it up.
This past fall,
Buster Bluth ass.
Oh, back when he was at Army.
Collateral boredom.
If I told you a joke that this guy didn't do basic training before joining the military, you'd laugh, right? Oh, wait, I didn't tell that joke. The Wall Street Journal did in their front page article. This past fall, we were campaigning near Reno, and in the middle of my remarks, the power went out completely. I was speaking to a dark room with no microphone, raising my voice to make myself heard. It only took a moment, but then something happened. One person held up the glowing screen of their phone, and then another, everyone holding up their lit phones together until the whole room lit up. And I couldn't see who was who behind each light, who was young and who was old, who was white and who was black, or Latino, or Asian, or Native.
I like... Thank you so much, guys. You guys are showing that when the unity of our phones comes together, the fear of not being charged goes away. Let's go, boys.
Let's go.
Let's fucking go.
This MF has Pornhub on his phone. It's open. What are you doing?
I'm seeing a lot of black.com. I like the ending of the phone, the asinine phone thing is great because at the end he's like, yeah, and then I just got to pretend that it was all my supporters weren't white.
Who was white and who was black? Who was Latino or Asian or Native?
You know, we're all Latino when my eyes are closed.
I saw each little light and knew that behind it was an American who saw the lights go out and knew to do something about it. All it took was...
That's not a compliment. It's like, oh, it's dark. I'll turn on a light. Yeah. That's not brilliant or inspiring. It's just like, oh, I can't see.
I went to a baseball game with my family, and I saw as person after person went to the bathroom, relieving the pressure in their bowels and bladder, because when they had a problem, they knew to find a solution.
The people who are part of this campaign won't do things like just kiss open electrical circuits and die instantly.
The people
in the Pete Buttigieg movement have never died because they forgot to drink water or starved to death.
The people in our movement would never, if the lights went out, just start cannibalizing each other. JK, they absolutely would.
Yeah. Yeah, Mayor Pete fans don't just put their hands on hot stoves. They're really smart. It's inspiring.
So it goes, all it took was one person, and others began to do the same. If we can light up a high school gym...
You only had one person that had to... Everyone be like, oh, okay.
Oh, damn, I forgot my phone could do that. Thank you.
If we can light up a high school gym... We can light a neighborhood.
Oh.
In Afghanistan.
If we can light up a neighborhood.
He did it, not me.
If we can light up a neighborhood, we can light a city. If we can light up a city, we can light up our country. If we can light up our country, we can make this nation we love shine once more as a beacon to the world. By the way...
Why didn't he use that Bruno Mars song instead of High Hopes? That lighter song.
By the way, I love that he included a line about, if we can light up a city. It's like, no, Pete, you're not supposed to let people know you are in the CIA. The CIA, the military, McKinsey, they can light up cities real good.
If we can light a bunch of thermite plasma charges on 9/11.
All right, so... That's not okay. There's one more thing about this I want to share to you, because there is actual video of this incident that he's talking about, and I'd like to play it for you now here, and just see if you can discern the authenticity that drips off this totally spontaneous moment that happened. And by the way, this entire speech is plagiarized almost word for word from an Obama speech, So it's not like they had any, you know, incentive to create this little moment of political movie magic. Run the clip. It's even worse.
Justices ought to be able to retire like they used to. Wow. If I'm just loud.
Oh, God. Holy fuck.
I've never seen this before.
Just a different crush video on every phone.
What can I say? Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. First of all, I had never seen this video before, so this is a first response you're getting from me. It's daylight and there are tons of windows.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I like just stationing like $30,000 worth of camera equipment in the audience just in case there's an inspiring moment. That fucking sucked. Pete's training almost kicked in and he almost sprayed the audience with a performance of Behind Blue Eyes.
Oh. I feel bad.
Yeah.
That's really not good.
I feel inspired. I don't know about you guys.
I also like when he was like, you know, when the lights were out, I couldn't tell if the person holding the phone was black, white, or Latino. And when the lights were out as well, they couldn't tell that I wasn't Obama when I was doing this insipid vocal impression of him. Let me be clear. Is it okay if I just yell like this? Could be loud to you guys right now?
I'm imagining now a Biden rally where they hold up their jitterbugs. Just these giant clamshell flip phones. Holding them up with both hands.
I'm picturing like hotel rotary phones.
Yeah, it's just the greatest display of like outdated electronics, like little TVs playing an Orioles game. That would rot. Yeah, and Biden
sort of somehow has an 8-track player.
Yeah. Hey, are you into the Allman Brothers? Like a Biden. I want to see this now so bad with Biden because like. I want to hear what he would say if, like, the lights spontaneously went out. It would have been so much cooler than Pete going, like, oh, I have to turn up one Obama octave.
No, Biden would be like, oh, so you're here for me finally, Grim Reaper. And I'm not going out without a fight.
Yeah. Well, it looks like I'm dying, Jack.
Amber, do you remember what you told me backstage about the when I explained the Pete blackout to you?
Oh, yeah. I just said that, like, you shouldn't believe anything that Mayor Pete says involving the word black.
He likes to fit.
They're all lies.
He invented the support of that blackout.
Zing.
Also, I gotta say, did he actually respond before the cue? Did he?
Yeah, he did.
He literally went, oh, what? Yeah, oh, before? What?
Like Hillary and those fucking
out?
Balloons.
Oh. So. That is, like I said, Pete. People get no delegates.
Bye,
none,
Pete.
None.
Goodbye, Peter.
Zero delegates.
You're a loser, honey. Go back to South Bend.
All right. So, like I said, I we should like you know we're gonna take you up to the present. But let's take you back to like when we last broadcast, which was right before the Nevada debate. Did you guys watch that?
Yeah.
Honestly, it was the only... I've watched every one of these, and they all feel like getting a fucking tooth drilled. This is the only fucking good one we've ever seen.
I especially liked it because me and Virgil got to watch it in the press area at the casino where it was taking place. We were, rows behind Tommy Lahren?
Yeah, well, Tommy Lahren was there.
That's pretty sweet.
Well, we'll get to your experience in the spin room in just a little bit. But first of all, overall take from the debate...
God, they all look so much like themselves in this picture. Look, that's all perfect.
Bloomberg looks like he's coming out of the ground. Like he just popped up from hell and he's like by the way, all the women signed papers saying that they like me.
So
yeah, and like Amy is reminding herself that fear is, you know, the little death that brings all oblivion. Yeah. Joe's just having a good time.
Yeah.
Warren is, ooh, me, teacher, me. Bernie's like, this coleslaw is not fresh. And Pete is desperately trying to get in a word, but literally no one cares. Like, they're all themselves
maybe
so much.
Maybe it's just the color correction, but Amy looks like she's turning into the Incredible Hulk. Like she's super cyaning.
Saiyan.
Whatever the fuck. I'm trying to meet you people halfway.
There are a lot of great moments during this debate, but like the most, this is like an honorable mention for me, but when they asked Pete about his Bernie essay and they're like, Pete, you wrote an essay? And he was like, yes, I did. Yes, I got a very good grade. It was like the only time I've actually seen him happy at one of these debates.
So, overall, top headline from this debate. Michael Bloomberg crushed it.
Killed it.
He did so
Talk
good.
Talk about an absolute masterclass.
He's a viber.
I mean, he did. I mean, he blew everyone away. I mean, honestly, it's over. It's over for Sanders. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be the bearer of the bad news.
You know what? It's the raw charisma.
It's the sheer likability. Yeah. It's the likability.
It's the sexual energy.
Yes.
He was just so...
Everyone just made a sound.
He was alpha.
He was so likable, charismatic, trustworthy in every way.
He did not in any way drip with contempt for anyone who made less than $10 billion.
It's cool. Like, one of the Jewish guys running for president, just incredibly fucking likable and, like,
cool.
Like, not no bullshit, like, compassionate. Like, he doesn't, like, he's no bullshit, but he, like, laughs and stuff. He seems like a great guy, like, has this family that loves him. And the other one is just like, oh, in case you forgot, I'm very rich.
Yeah. No, it literally was like a Semitic goofus and gallant. But it's like, I kept expecting Bernie to just break down and at some point being like, let me be clear, this man, he's bad for the Jews.
He is, though.
One more interesting element about Bloomberg that as it relates to the show and our sort of uncanny ability to will things into reality. Virgil, what did you... You didn't predict... I mean, you... Like, months ago, you said of the Bloomberg terminal...
That it sucks you off.
Yeah.
It's something... That's how Bloomberg made his money. And we were confused about this at first until I remembered. Yeah, Bloomberg was just some asshole, you know, misogynist, racist Wall Street guy. And he, you know, he cashed out with, like, $100 million or something. And he used that money to develop, like, those old Pac-Man machines that you'd find at arcades or bowling alleys.
No, those are cool.
Well, he took the casing of it, and he put in a computer that just sends stock numbers, which is exactly what a computer does.
And it's also on your phone.
Right, except this is a gigantic thing that every fucking rich person and Wall Street trader has to own, because not only that, it has an IM feature called IB, where you send instant Bloombergs to other Wall Street guys to let them know that...
He's not joking.
To let
not a joke.
Them know that you're coming because it sucks you off. And it costs like $80,000. And I think we should get one to go with our Peloton.
I agree. There's no better time to execute trades on the market than when you're getting the endorphins flowing on a Peloton.
Now, I've never been sucked off by a Bloomberg terminal. I've never had the opportunity to use one. So this is all just kind of, you know, from top of the dome.
But, okay, so yeah, I mean, it's a computer that shows you numbers and sucks you off while it's doing it. I mean, why else would you spend 20 grand on a computer? But check this out. Someone found out that Bloomberg literally said of his Bloomberg terminal, yeah, like, when, it, like it, it'll suck you off. It'll do everything.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a computer that does everything, including give a blowjob.
Yes.
And then he said, if that's the case, all my sales girls will be out of a job.
Yep.
Yeah, he's not a good guy.
He's bad.
You guys are very upset. Folks, how much will it cost to make you not be upset anymore?
By the way, before you leave tonight, could you please, there will be an NDA signing line. Yeah. Make sure to put your John Hancock ladies first. Okay, so, yeah, Bloomberg, Yeah, he's bad. He's a really bad guy.
He's a no good Nick.
And to that, so in our Vegas show, we opened our Bloomberg segment showing the utterly surreal video of him in this horrible Broadway review where he gets on wires and floats above the stage saying, "I'll make everyone behave," waving to the crowd.
Chilling.
Horrifying. So we're not gonna leave you guys behind. God. We will definitely damage everyone's brain tonight in this room by showing you this clip of Bloomberg, which sums up everything.
Oh, God. Ladies, Mr. Trump is here. Be calm, cool, and professional.
Great mayor.
Oh, my gosh. Mayor Bloomberg and Donald Trump paid a visit. It was the highlight of this task for me.
That's right. It's the number one Frankophile in the city.
Not the only kind of file he is.
See whether you guys can cut the mustard.
All right,
then. Very good. I can't tell whether these are better or worse than the one the men's are selling until I have a hot dog with the men. I can tell you this without seeing the men, you guys look better.
Calm down, Mike. Settle the fuck down.
Meet the mayor of New York, Mayor Bloomberg.
Hey, Mayor Bloomberg, how are you, sir?
Very nice of you gentlemen to come by.
The question is this the best hot dog, or is the best hot dog sold by all of those gorgeous women at the last hot dog stand? Very good.
And I'll bet he'll never reveal the answer.
And that's why you're the mayor in New York. There you go.
Okay.
I really enjoyed the eating shots where it's like, yep, I sure do enjoy human food. Yeah. Love putting it in my mouth, digesting it, passing it out of my anus.
I actually enjoy a hot dog as much as a child's skull.
Could we afford a lesser Baldwin?
I think
they
so. Daniel has got
to
be.
They seem to be cheap. Yeah.
Daniel's okay, the cheapest.
Here's the thing I want to. Here's a note I want to make about this video is, just in about, it's about a one minute and a half clip. The sheer concentration of the biggest douchebags on the planet, one after the other. Okay, it starts off with Donald Trump and Michael Bloomberg. So you're like, fuck, we're well on your way. Then out of nowhere, Piers Morgan shows up going, it's Michael Bloomberg.
It's
me,
Michael Bloomberg, mate.
Piers Morgan shows up. Eric, Don
Omarosa.
Jr., Gene Simmons of Kiss, the worst man alive ever.
Stephen Baldwin.
And then Stephen fucking Baldwin.
Trace Adkins, if you were wondering who that asshole at the cowboy hat was.
I mean, Trace, I'll give him a pass, but just...
No, Bloomberg. He sucks.
Okay. Bloomberg.
His name is Trace. Okay. It's for kids who cheat at art class. That's not a real name.
Bloomberg, Trump, Eric, Don Jr., Stephen Baldwin, Piers Morgan, and Gene Simmons. Just sort of like gathering around a New York City hot dog cart. And what the fuck is even the challenge? Can you get like a hot dog out of dirty water and stick it in a bun and shove it into the face of this?
These are celebrities. That's as much as you can ask them.
The goblin mayor of New York City.
Also, they are all the same hot dogs.
Yeah, like, there's no preparation.
Like, this is one of the things that, you know, Felix has pointed out about like the bodega fetish is that like every single bodega has the same boar's head meat. There's no expertise that goes into this. And there's certainly no expertise that goes into the hot dog trade, if you will. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's all a bunch of like C to D list celebrities getting as low to the ground as they possibly can to suck Bloomberg's dick. the phallic stuff is
Stephen Baldwin at the end where like he's supposed to judge who made better hot dogs, the men or the women, and he said like, oh, well, like, without looking, I know you look better than the man. And then at the end, he goes like, he's you know, choking down this disgusting hot dog, this disgusting street dog in New York. And he goes, all right. And they're like, you know, I know who has the better one. And Trump goes, yeah, but I bet you he'll never tell. And then Stephen Baldwin just the fucking
kid. Nuts.
He just goes, that's why you're mayor of New York City, baby. Oh, God.
It's grim.
And he started crying because his more successful brother won't return his calls.
This video, like if I get a new job after this election, CFO of ISIS, After they're, you know, after they're acquired by Bain Capital and McKinsey is set in to streamline, to cut costs, I would unfortunately have to, like, cut the entire video production department and just replace all ISIS output with this video.
This it does video, the job.
Yeah, if you're, like, on the fence, this video will make you join ISIS.
Absolutely.
It's so sad. It's like when, you know, like, there would be all of these post-mortems, like, after Gawker got shuttered, but for DeBeek.
Yeah.
Like, journalism used to mean something. Now it's this fucking video content.
And you know that after he took that bite in both cases, as soon as the camera cut, he spit it out into a bucket like Krusty the Clown.
No, he spit it out into a woman's mouth.
Probably. I only want to hear Bloomberg's taste test review of different adrenochrome preparations. That's all he's qualified to talk about.
So... moving on to the debate, my last little thing for the debate is it was underrated, but Joe Biden had a masterclass in that
yes.
debate. He was fully...
I've been to Mexico more times yes. than anyone you know, yes. Jack.
That was the line...
They call me El Diablo.
That was the line...
I got warrants from Tijuana to Guadalajara, son.
That was the line of the night for me because it came out of nowhere.
Damn federales are after me.
He just popped in. The camera wasn't even on him at the time, and you just heard his disembodied voice go, nobody's been to Mexico more than me, Jack.
One time it was me. It was me, Walter Brennan, and Humphrey Bogart in the Sierra Madres looking for some gold. And I'll tell you, things went sideways.
Biden, it was probably the best Biden performance like yeah. this entire cycle. They gave him an entire bottle of Dexies.
Yeah. No, they just gave yeah. him the fucking adrenaline needle from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like really, he didn't do the things in previous debates where his eyes widened, where he's like, oh, I think I'm out of words soon, Mac. Like every previous debate, like he just starts to look terrified after talking for 15 seconds. And like a minute before his time's up, he's like, I'm running over time. I yield the floor, Mac. But this one, he was just fucking Thuman. He was firing on all cylinders.
Apparently, he had
an ill-advised attempt to talk about gender issues. It was like super ambitious. He's the man.
Also, according to media reports, when they were all coming off the stage, he like sort of jabbed Bloomberg in the chest with his finger and said, "Welcome to the party, man."
Alpha,
alpha, fucking alpha.
Think about.
Well, get this straight, Jack. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
I'm thinking more like 80s teen movie. Like he's bully James Spader, just making you feel like shit. I love it.
He's like, think about Bloomberg and Biden, they're similar age. Biden was like the Chad of the 50s. And Bloomberg was totally. Definitely the virgin.
Totally.
Bloomberg was just like shuffling along, like trying to play with his little nub cock and his big pants. Being like, oh God, I can't wait till I invent a stocks computer. And then I can just do and say whatever to every woman. Meanwhile, Biden was just, you know, ending segregation at sock hops, driving his big car down to Rehoboth. Michael Bloomberg would have fucking Joe Biden would have fucking terrorized Michael Bloomberg with a towel in the 50s.
So, as I mentioned earlier, I guess like the other big, I guess, actual news from the debate is that every single candidate other than Bernie Sanders all committed to losing the election and coming out of a brokered convention and
yep.
splitting the party. They all doubled down on stage and
who,
just said...
Who on stage is black-pilled AF?
They're just like, literally, yes, I will do whatever I have to do, including just completely eschewing any overtures to democracy whatsoever.
Yeah, would you destroy the Democratic Party and definitely lose to Donald Trump to deny Bernie Sanders a nomination?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Yep. By the way, I'm the unity candidate, and beating Trump is the most important thing in the world or this election.
Well, to be fair, at that point, Biden did think he was an Aztec god. He was still talking about Mexico, so. Like.
Okay, but as I mentioned a little earlier, Matt and Virgil did get the opportunity. You watched the whole debate live, and you got the opportunity to enter that rarest
sadly,
of chambers.
Sadly, we found out quickly that you don't get to actually watch the debate. You're in the media pen. and you're just watching it on a big TV with other dorks and Tomi Lahren.
But you got to enter the most hidden of the 36 chambers, the spin chamber.
Yes, we did get to go to the spin room.
All right, real quick, can we just get the next slide up for you? Okay, computer, enhance. Computer.
Like Tango and Cash.
This, all right, Virgil. This entire image is Mr. Brightside to me.
Virgil and Felix, could you just give us just our San Diego here tonight, just a little taste of what was it like to be in the spin puddle, the spin cuddle puddle?
As Matt said, it was a huge letdown and it sucked.
Yeah.
Because we were just standing around there waiting for them to, you know, whip the candidates out.
Yes.
And, you know, So that we get to touch them.
I was waiting to ask Michael Bloomberg if he thinks Ghislaine Maxwell is a 10 out of 10 smoke show of the week.
And I was ready to ask Pete Buttigieg, sir, do you agree that Washington has a rat problem? My question for Biden was going to be, Mr. Vice President, who was your bestest friend growing up? And we didn't get a chance for any of that because they just sent out boring-ass surrogates.
It sucked. It was Julian Castro for Warren.
Yeah.
And I don't even, Howard Wolfson for Bloomberg.
Yeah, for Bloomberg. Yeah, yeah.
Very, that's like I don't even know. Boring.
Maybe it's some like a Hillary consultant flag. That's like one of those fucking shithead New York consultants that
boring.
Works for both Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, it was lame.
Yeah. Sorry to let you down. We did say a lot of mean things, though.
That's true. And people got mad that we were there, which is also good.
Yeah, that's a victory in itself. But I just...
Spite! I mean...
Nicely done, Spite.
I mean, people are mad at me anywhere I go, so it's not really an accomplishment.
Oh, but we did discover you can vape in the spin room.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course you
Unlike
can.
Certain theaters in Iowa.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Some people have read the Constitution.
Okay, so here's another bit of news. So the night of our Vegas show was... the Academy Awards.
Glamour and glitz.
Hooray for Hollywood. It was the...
Oscar. Who will win?
It was the Oscars. And already there's been some political news about the Oscars because Trump took it upon himself to just shit on Parasite winning Best Picture. And then Pete was just like, oh God, this is a softball for me. This is a big meatball down the center. And he... just said some shit like, I want to live in an America where foreign films can win Best Picture. And it's not the president's job to choose the Best Picture winner. It's the Academy of, it's the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences.
It's a collection of elite Hollywood pedophiles.
I can...
allegedly.
I can spot the fake Pete heads on stage. Pete had a banger for this one. It was...
What was it?
The president shouldn't be worrying more about foreign movies winning Best Picture than foreign interference.
That's no shit.
God,
that's really what it was.
Yes.
Ooh, that's bad.
Ooh, okay.
I love just, like, he's really squeezing water from a stone, trying to, like, Trump was just at a rally, like, bragging about knowing the popcorn from the Let's All Go to the Movies animation. And Pete,
very good
and
friend
Pete,
of mine.
And
she was so horny for me. Yeah. So horny for me.
I could have had her, folks. I could have had her.
The hot dog's a very nasty guy. I treated her very poorly. Don't go crying to me, Miss Popcorn. But like Pete just saw just clearly dementia-addled man who was like, y'all ready for this?
I love that though because that's a perfect example of the sterility of the left-right politics in this country. Because you got Trump being like, oh, Parasite, what's going on? And then you got Mayor Pete going, excuse me, sir, but Parasite shows the strength of our diversity and the diversity of our strength.
By the
Whereas
way,
any conscious human being says, who gives a fuck about the stupid fucking Oscars?
By the way.
Matt, haven't you, like, watched literally every Oscars?
Until this year. This is the first one I missed. Because we were on tour.
You were just waiting for politics to happen.
I mean, honestly, yes. I kind of have been annoyed because I enjoy the glitz and glamour of Hollywood.
So, actually, Pete loved Parasite because it was going to be the name of his memoir until my former employers made him change it to Shortest Way Home or whatever.
Pete loves Parasite because he brought so many of them from his voyages to East Asia and it caused the plague.
Okay, but this produced one more thing. And then, you know, I think I am sort of known as a bit of a film buff. a bit of a buff when it comes to movies. So this whole kerfuffle over Parasite winning Best Picture has produced, in my opinion, or not my opinion, just my favorite Trump clip to date.
So wow, that is high praise.
Let's share it. Let's share it with you guys now. I need to watch this again.
Bad with the Academy Awards this year. Did you see it? And the winner is a movie from South Korea. What the hell was that all about? We got enough problems with South Korea, with trade. On top of it, they give him the best movie of the year. Was it good? I don't know. You know, I'm looking for, like, where, let's get Gone with the Wind. Can we get, like, Gone with the Wind back, please? Sunset Boulevard. So many great movies. The winner is from South Korea. I thought it was best foreign film, right? Best foreign movie. No, it was the, did this ever happen before?
Okay.
I think this might be the only time I've ever actually seen him angry.
He's very mad.
Okay, he's never actually angry. He's always feigning kind of contempt or disdain or irritation.
See, the thing is, Trump is kind of a movie buff as well. I mean, we all know that him and Don Jr. watch Bloodsport and fast forward just the fighting scenes.
Yes.
Which is, you know, I think a pretty good way to watch that movie.
Yep.
Although you do lose a lot of the subtlety in Van Damme's bizarre performance.
One time, Don Jr. came to watch the movie in a karate gi, and Don punched him in the face. You got to wear a suit to watch Bloodsport.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know if this is just me, but there was something about Trump name-checking Sunset Boulevard.
Sunset Boulevard, folks. Billy Wilder, he knew how to make a picture.
The great Billy Wilder, folks.
One of the great.
There was something about Trump name-checking Sunset Boulevard that was so perfect for me, and I was like trying to figure out like why it was making me feel this way, and then I realized that Donald Trump is the most Norma Desmond-like man alive.
Absolutely.
Ever. Put it up there. They even look alike.
Look.
They even look alike, folks. Oh. Folks. Trump is still big. It's the pictures that got small. They're so tiny now. Bye-bye.
He gave Ivanka like an engraved cigarette case that said, mad about the girl.
Folks, stop by Mar-a-Lago on Wednesdays. I play bridge with Buster Keaton. He's called the General. No, not the auto insurance one. He has a train, a big one. Choo, 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 choo. And then I fucking realized, remember when he first ran for president, when he announced he was running for president, what did he do?
Came down an escalator.
Mm-hmm. A long flight of stairs. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. It's just that this is uncanny to me. The Trump-Norma Desmond connection.
It's amazing. He's just a queedy old bitch.
Yeah.
He wants to be Rex Reed or someone. Just like, you tried to pull off those pants? Honey, someone tell your thighs.
Every time Trump does something like this, I think about the thing I saw a week after he became president, and it was a Humvee on a naval base in San Diego, a Navy SEAL Humvee plastered with Trump shit, just plastered with it, like guys just actively going overseas, like for him, and they're like, yeah, we fucking love this, and this is really like the core of his message.
Yes.
I will die in the fields of Afghanistan to bring glamour back to Hollywood. I'm sorry, Taliban, but there will be a modern answer to Ava Gardner in my lifetime, where I will die here.
I will commit myself to using the Fifth Freedom to ascertain one Graydon Carter, whose Oscar party is an embarrassment to the NATO nations.
We're still big. It's the wars that got small.
The great Billy Wilder.
Folks, don't you love those movies? Oh, the glamour and glitz. It really does remind you that for the bottom of the people who vote for him, the reason they like him is because he complains about television shows the same way they do. And because he's the president, that means that they're right. So it's like they could go to their family members, see, I was right about that. I was right to say that Parasite was dumb and I didn't want it to win.
NCIS New Orleans has gotten so preachy over the last two seasons.
I get it, Mark Harmon. Go home, buddy.
Maria Menounos is reusing dresses at an alarming rate.
I can't believe Kristen Cavalieri is going to have another kid. It took us so long to get the baby weight off last time.
So one last thing before intermission here, and this is another movie connection here. So, like I said, we're coming from Las Vegas, and the other night before the caucus, I almost had an Uncle Jem's moment.
Oh.
I almost had an Uncle Jem's moment. So we were on the floor of the MGM Grand, and we were finally going to do some gaming.
You game.
And engage in some games of chance. I swear to God, guys, I'm not a big gambler. This is, dear Penthouse Forum, I never thought it would happen to me. I won like $500 in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
I was like, one slot machine, one push of the button, $120 right there. I had another amazing run on another slot machine.
It was an absolute
Then I took $100, bet it all on black on one spin of the roulette wheel, won it, cashed out, and then won another $100 playing craps with Jack Wagner. Okay, so then I was like, as a joke, I was like, so like I said, we mentioned at the top of the show, let's put him up. Let's put him on the screen. Tyson Fury, the absolute lad. As I mentioned, the MGM was filled with British boxing fans come to see this absolute masterclass and legend, Tyson Fury, the new WBC heavyweight champion of the world.
Tears in my eyes.
So I was just like, I'm going to take all this money. You know, it's like not that much, but I was like, more money than I've ever won in a fucking casino. So I was like, I'm going to take all this money that I've won gambling for Bernie Sanders, and I'm going to bet it all on the white guy in a heavyweight boxing championship. I'm going all in, like Uncle Jim's. And I said it as a joke, and then I found out today he won.
He did,
yeah. So I was this fucking close to, you know, cashing out and, you know, donating all that money to charity. So I was this close to having a genuine Uncle Jem's moment and then being shot
you know,
in the face.
You gotta follow it. You gotta follow
Spoiler
the
voice
alert. In your head.
Yeah, I mean, we flew here on Spirit Airlines, so we would have definitely died.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
But I said Uncut Jem's. We call it Uncle Jem's around these parts. We call it Uncle Jem's here in the Trap House. And just before we break for intermission, I'd like to share with you guys a little bit of breaking news. Felix, as of today, is officially an Uncle Jem. And by that, I mean his sister had a child.
You just John Cena'd the fuck out of that.
Yeah.
Will, you just John Cena'd the shit out of that.
The most beautiful thing a sibling can do for another sibling is to turn them into an uncle.
Thank you. Now you gotta have to start that EDM band soon.
Yeah, no. I mean, I have my retirement plan now.
So you gotta like learn how to build a beat.
I can't wait till Lucy raises her daughter to bully you. She's taller and louder than you.
I mean, like within 5 years, yeah.
So congratulations to Felix, who will officially be doing
Uncle Magic.
Yeah. He will officially be doing real-life Uncle Magic to his beautiful niece. San Diego, stick around. We have another video for you in intermission. Get a drink, hang out. We will be back for Act 2. See you in a second. All right, San Diego, we are back. Still feeling good? Still feeling good? Got some pop in the room tonight. I like it. It's hot. You guys are hot. Well, so, like I said, in our first act, we brought you to the present. So let's get to the big news, what happened last night. Let's break down this amazing victory last night. That's right. Let's talk about our boy Bernie, and let's go with the. Let's just throw up those results. Let me see that. Let me see that beautiful data on the screen. So let's break down the top three. So we got Bernie Sanders, obviously. Here's what I want to say about what Bernie did in Nevada. And that is similar, you know, it's another caucus state. And similar to what we saw happen in Iowa, where there were these satellite caucuses that for some reason the Sanders campaign was allowed to cheat by reaching out and organizing those voters, which honestly, I think maybe the FBI should look into. In Nevada, they had this, you know, like those satellite caucuses in Iowa were for people who were not able to caucus at 7 o'clock in the evening because they were working like a 12-hour shift at a meatpacking facility. And these are mostly immigrant communities, refugee communities, people who had never voted before. They were Sudanese, Nicaraguan, and Ethiopian immigrants. And every one of those satellite caucuses...
Mayor Pete territory.
Yeah, yeah. Those satellite caucuses were a blowout for Bernie, and they were the thing that basically is the reason that he tied it in this stupid suck-dick elector, the state delegate elector count, which is now, by the way, now that to the extent to which anyone will ever know what the math or data coming out of Iowa was, Pete is now essentially ahead by Bernie Sanders by 0.58 of a human.
0.08, so 0.08.
That's
like a finger.
That's not a human being. They're tied in this stupid bullshit.
It's rat-sized, though.
That's what somebody without an MBA qualifies for in South Bend.
And, of course, practically it means that they have the same number of delegates to the Democratic
Party. Have the same number of delegates, and Bernie won the popular vote by 6,000 votes. So it was these satellite caucuses in Iowa that broke the New York Times.
Well, they don't have the same number of national delegates. It's going to depend on the recount.
But those state delegates, I mean, those satellite caucuses are what broke the New York Times election needle, like when they were still trying to tabulate the results
My
of it.
My needle.
Nevada had another interesting thing, which was these strip caucuses, which were similar, that they were designed, they were set up in casinos all up and down the Vegas.
In many ways, also meatpacking plants.
Yeah. You guys got to pack them in and carve them up. That's their business model. So they were set up, they were designed for people who were working that Saturday morning. If you work within like a 2.5 mile radius of the strip, you could go to these caucus sites in the major casinos on the strip. And if you were a member of the union or one of them, for instance, per your contract, must be given 2 hours to caucus and get paid to do it. And your manager could not stop you from doing that. Believe me, they tried to. They tried to tell people the wrong times. They tried to lie about it. It didn't fucking work. And these strip caucuses were entirely people who were mostly cab drivers or people who worked in casinos on the strip. Yes. This is the Chapo Trap House contingent going strong for Bernie Sanders. No, and wouldn't you know it, Bernie Sanders campaign and his amazing organization in that state were once again, for some reason, the only candidate who tried to organize these people to get out the vote. And guess what? It worked again. Five out of the seven strip caucuses went for Bernie Sanders, and one of them was a tie between him and Biden. That's 5 out of the 7 went overwhelmingly for Bernie Sanders. Matt, Chris, and I, and Amber went to one. There was the strip caucus at the Bellagio Casino, and we got there after they had just been let out. We walked in, we saw, like, on the whiteboard, the actual math, the raw shit, the real data. 2/3 went for Bernie Sanders. It was a fucking landslide for him. And the only other one was Joe Biden. He got 19 delegates. Bernie Sanders got 32. And the thing is, though, every one of these big casinos and the people who showed up to these strip caucuses almost entirely were members of Culinary 226. So much for all those horrible attacks on their leaders.
What
that was gonna.
It
was good. Yeah, no. What this showed overwhelmingly is that despite the fear mongering about it, despite the ginned up bullshit pseudo controversy about people online attacking leadership of these unions, The rank and file of these unions want Medicare for all. They want Bernie Sanders. And this idea that, it's going to take away their union health care that they all fought and all like so much. The thing is, I'm sure they do like it. It's nice to have, to feel that security. But if you live in a world, and this doesn't matter if you're in a union or not, or any employer-backed health insurance that you may or may not have, you may have it now, but if you live in a world where you can still get fired or laid off, you may not have it tomorrow. So you think maybe these casino workers could see beyond themselves to think, hey, gee, maybe my friends and family should have the same healthcare security that I take for granted through my job.
And remember, national single payer, free at the point of service, healthcare, free pharmaceuticals, free dental, free vision is better than every single union health plan in the country.
Yes.
So much for that. And the other thing about the culinary union thing is, like, a week before, there was this big thing about, like, oh, who are they going to endorse? Oh, Bernie Sanders supporters are attacking them. They don't like Bernie Sanders because they're afraid of Medicare for all. The union leadership doesn't like it. They were thought, are they gonna go for Biden? Well, he was coming off fourth, fifth place in New Hampshire. So that didn't look like a sure thing, even though he definitely was their guy. And probably if he had done it better in New Hampshire and Iowa, they definitely would have endorsed him. And clearly he was like the union leadership was telling people behind the scenes, yeah, he's our guy, support this guy. They ended up endorsing our goals. It was even more craven than what the New York Times did. But here's the thing.
It's not craven, it's smart.
You're right.
It means
explain
that
why.
They are not sure who's going to win. It means that, a union makes an endorsement very early on, particularly in the primaries, to try and endear themselves to a candidate with hopes that they will be spared the axe. It may not be the smartest thing long term, it may not be the most ethical thing, but it is a rational thing.
Well, yeah,
and
but
unions
the smartest
act on behalf of the maintenance of the union. When the labor movement is healthy, unions act on behalf of the members. When labor is weak, they're just trying to keep the union going. So, again, you just can't moralize this shit. What it means is not only does the union think that Bernie might win, but that the union movement is starting to think ahead and not just in survival mode. And that is very exciting. That is very exciting. And so, as silly as it sounds, withholding an endorsement, that's a big dick move. They're not fucking on the first date.
They are
holding out. They're endorsing a hang in there kitten poster, and it's the smart thing to do. It's the smart thing for the union. It's the smart thing for the members. And it's a good sign.
Do you think it also might have been that the leadership was very well aware that their members were going to go big for Bernie Sanders, and they didn't want to look like they were going against...
I don't know enough about the culinary union to say for sure, but even the kind of most hollowed out unions know that they rely on member dues, and they know that they at the very least, have to seem like they're not fucking their members worse than the bosses. That's the only way to survive. Again, it's maybe not the most politically forward-thinking thing, but there's a rationale to it. I think there's probably something to that, and I think the fact that people are overwhelmingly in support of Medicare for All, particularly even people who already have health care through a union, I think they know which way the wind is blowing, and we welcome them aboard. It's good. It's a good thing. Yeah, endorse your goals and your hopes and your dreams and your vision boards and whatever. Yeah, that's good. That's good. We know what you're doing. Good for you.
Can we see the slide of all the groups that Bernie Sanders won in Nevada?
You just fucked it up. Nevada.
Nevada.
So, all right, the second line here, this gets into our number two spot. winner, Joseph Robinette Biden. We see he did win the black vote in Nevada by about 12 points. He won 65 and older by 10 points. And then my favorite, opposing single-payer health care plan by 6 points. So he's got the anti-Medicare for all vote sewn up.
Look,
tight.
I have one issue. It's very esoteric.
So, yeah, let's look at all the groups Bernie Sanders won. Do you think that might look like the unity candidate to you? I don't know. Seems pretty convincing to me. Here's the craziest stat about the groups who voted for Bernie Sanders. The youth vote, and that's like under 35. He won, so what is it, 78, 80?
No, 45%.
45%
under,
of the youth.
I mean, I'm sorry, under 45, it was 73%.
Under 30, well, 75%.
45.
Under 45.
Yes, 73% of the under 45 vote.
I think I saw something that said under 35 was like closer to 80 or 90%. So
either way,
that is astonishing. It is undeniable. The youth of this country are behind Bernie Sanders almost 100%. There is no other.
It's not just the youth. 30 to 44. It's not just the youth. Really, if you don't like piss a little when you sneeze, you're in favor of Bernie Sanders.
Bernie literally won everyone in every demographic that's not a senior citizen.
There is some overlap there, too.
And he also won an outright majority of Latinos.
Yeah, 51%.
51. According to the entrance poll.
51%. By the way, that's because of Russia.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit. All right, so the number two guy, Joseph Biden. I mean, and by the number two guy, I mean, like, he's the only one that got delegates out of this caucus.
Mm-hmm. Even his avatar is saying, come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a really good rendering. That's like, that's him after someone's like, you weren't ever arrested in South Africa.
Oh, wait. Felix, tell me about this, because you told me about this. And I was very high, so I'm like, that didn't happen.
So,
but it did.
Joe Biden has added a new thing to his repertoire before South Carolina, and it's inventing a story wherein he was arrested in South Africa trying to visit Nelson Mandela in prison.
What, like on spring break?
Yeah. It's so... I think there are a few iterations of it. He would have had to have been, like a senator when he did it.
Yeah.
There's no record of this in South Africa. Like, I'm pretty sure that would be a story, U.S. senator arrested visiting imprisoned Mandela. But it shows that, the old bitch still has some tricks.
Listen here, Mac. I'm telling you.
No one's going to call him on this. Like, I am, but I also just think it's charming. Like, I like it.
Listen, Jack, I went in there with that warden's office dressed like a sexy lady, and sure enough, he went in to kiss me, and I grabbed the keys off of his belt while he wasn't looking. Now, I hit him in the head with a crown molding, and I tried to sneak him out, Jack, in my bustle.
I'll tell you what.
Now, you see, they had Nelson wearing a striped outfit with a little striped hat, breaking rocks.
I'll tell you what, Jack. My wife, Dr. Jill Biden, she's the greatest. She baked a big apple pie with a file inside it, and we snuck it right in there to Nelson, and that's why he got out.
Listen here, Jack. I seduced one of the prison guards. I injected him with iron filings. Then he went into work the next day, and Mandela used his Magneto's powers to suck all the metal out of him and shatter the prison doors. You better believe it, buddy.
Now, a lot of people don't remember this. They don't like to remember, think about what's going on, remembering where it's going. But the movie Invictus takes place in Delaware. As the first sitting youngest poorest member of Congress to play rugby for South Africa.
All right,
sorry, that was a jerk.
So, as Joe Biden finishing in a distant number two, the number three spot was Pete Buttigieg after he declared himself on the night of the number two guy. He just can't stop doing it.
He goes rat mode in every instance.
He loves, I mean, just, I don't know, I'll just say, Maybe it's something in his resume or job training that's taught him to preemptively declare himself the victor of elections before any results are tallied or they even take place at all. Felix, you were saying that, like, Pete's new thing now is that, like, you know, after he comes in second or third, he just, like, gives a speech like he won, and he's just like, for anyone who's questioning whether a mayor from South Bend, Indiana could put together a national political movement that could finish third in the Nevada caucus, you have your answer tonight.
Yeah,
look, it's... fake it till you make it, man.
It's really good. Like, you've seen those posts, like, where they're just, like, sort of engagement farming posts where it's like a hot woman will be like, who said bisexual women can't wear black lipstick? And it's like, I don't think, like, anyone ever said that. But Pete's posts have the same thing where it's like, for everyone, and this means everyone, that said that a mayor of South Bend can't lead a national conversation about a new type of politics, it's like, I don't think anyone, like, specifically was like, dude, if there's a new type of politics, it's not fucking coming from South Bend. But he's defiant. He's a defiant third. He reminds me, he really is the Rubio of this race.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah.
Fully.
Yeah.
Rubio...
Has a weeping spouse that we never see.
Yeah, yeah. He, like... Rubio, if you remember the 2016 Republican primary, our favorite thing was watching Rubio's third and fourth place victory speeches. And it's just the same vibe. I mean, they really are the same guy, the same, like, empty-headed truisms every loss. It's, I don't know who our Chris Christie is. Maybe Warren, but... No, I'm not saying that. I'm not really saying that as a dig at her, but it's like, what role does she fulfill? Like, it's doomed, and she's maybe trying to audition.
Yes, no, she's super enthusiastic and would, like, try to hug Bruce Springsteen too hard.
Yeah.
He's onto something.
She's like the slightly off-brand version of the real thing. Like, yeah. It's like Aldi Trump, the one Warren is Aldi Sanders.
Yeah.
Well, I do have an alternate take, because unlike Rubio, Pete actually got second in a couple places.
That's true.
That's why I think Warren is the Rubio of this race. Because last time around, Rubio was just like eating shit all over the map and getting like third and fourth place. And guys like Chris the Fix Saliza would be like, seems like Rubio's winning the establishment primary. He's got the moderate lane all to him.
Yeah, and he won the Minnesota primary.
And because like Cruz and Trump hoovering up delegates, like that doesn't count.
He won the Minnesota primary.
Yeah, right.
Like, well, I predicted that. I specifically predicted Rubio winning the Minnesota primary.
Yes.
With no polling.
And this time around, Warren is eating shit all across the map. Third in Iowa. Fourth in New Hampshire with zero delegates, and fourth in Nevada with zero delegates.
Ouch.
Okay. But, I mean, look, we got a good state for her with a large African-American population coming up, so turning it around. But nevertheless, if you follow her, you know, dead-end diehard supporters on the internet, not the ones who have already, like...
Defected.
Yeah, right, just saw the fucking numbers, was like, oh, yeah, well, screw this. They are giving her more money and saying, actually, she's winning.
Yeah.
And that's the same as the Rubio cycle.
Yeah.
When the apocalypse doesn't come, the true believers double down and believe even harder.
Yeah, the prophecy has failed because we didn't believe hard enough.
Well, yeah, so this brings us...
Sorry, one last thing. Marianne, Ben Carson.
Oh, damn!
History does not repeat itself, but it rhymes.
She's a sleeper.
When she's Secretary of Housing and Human Development, the feng shui in those public houses are going
to be amazing. There is going to be
perfect energy flow in every subsidized unit, man.
So,
crime drops 50%.
So much natural light.
Oh, my God.
Well, this brings us to, those are the top three. And then now we get into what Virgil, Texas has dubbed fail jail. The 4, 5, and 6 spots. Beginning with Elizabeth Warren.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Folks, voters just continue to do erasure to her campaign.
It's fucked up what they're doing.
The voters of Nevada did not center Elizabeth Warren, and Quite frankly, I we should have a conversation
the
about
state
that.
Is
no
canceled.
Woman president. No woman president. So here's my thing is that I came into writing sort of from a feminist direction because I was very interested in family welfare, which tends to come from a second wave kind of tradition of economistic and Marxist feminist. But here's the thing. We can't have a woman president. Or rather, we can, but we just have to have socialism first.
Seems like a fair deal.
So if you truly want a woman president, you have to have a socialist president set the precedent. And it doesn't really... That wasn't a pun. Don't laugh. I have a lot of them. That wasn't one of them.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things to talk about with Liz here. I mean, like I said, I mentioned in the first act that she said on stage at the debate and then doubled down after in comments directly after the debate that she is not even, she's openly admitting that her path to the nomination runs through superdelegates in a brokered convention.
Yep.
That's a good sign, right?
Yeah. Saying explicitly, I will have this nomination even if it guarantees Trump gets reelected. It matters more to me that I'm the nominee.
If she wants to do that, I recommend she gets some delegates.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would help. That would help.
Good point. Oh, my God. She's Tanya Harding. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, she does not have...
Tanya Harding, she tried to... And then she still didn't win, and then she ran up, and she's like, fucking puts her skate on the thing, and she's like... And it doesn't work because the judges don't like her either.
Now I'm just imagining Bernie...
Except Tanya Harding was actually working class.
And good at what she was trying to do.
Yeah. Amber, now all I can think of right now is just Bernie Sanders clutching his ankle and going,
Why?
Why? But here's the thing, though. So, like we said, Liz is, I mean, you know, a week ago she said, Sanders' campaign is built on a foundation of hatred. Okay, so she's gone fully black, Phil.
Oh, yeah.
And there's only one word for what's happening to Elizabeth Warren.
I gotta say it. Over the last few weeks, the evidence is absolutely undeniable. Elizabeth Warren has been Joker-fied. She's the damn Joker. She doesn't care. She'll burn it all down. If it's not going to be her, the entire thing can crumble. Trump can get a second term and put everybody in camps as long as she beats Bernie.
Do you want to know how I got these cheekbones?
You're awful, Murray. You played my DNA test video just to laugh at me.
She really will watch it burn. Yeah. She does not give a shit. And you saw this happen, too. I mean, when they were doing the Yas Queen Khaleesi thing with Hillary, it was wrong. Multiple people have brought this up. I think you've brought this up. My friend Patrick's brought this up. But the thing is, when they go Khaleesi with Warren, it makes way more sense. Because she started out with pure intentions. But ultimately, she just wants the power. She just wants the fucking power. And you saw her make a decision. You saw her shift from like, look, maybe I'm a little out of my league, but you know, I want to be a force for good. And then she's like, but what if I kneecapped Bernie Sanders by some bullshit sexism claim, and then I could be in charge of everything?
Yeah.
But it didn't work because she's a moron.
I want, like, going back to what she said, like, after, you know, eating shit in two contests and said Bernie's campaign is built on a foundation of hate, it made me think, what actually is the Elizabeth Warren campaign built on? You can joke and say a ill-fated video idea given to her by the John Save Network guys, and that would partially be true. But really, can you pinpoint, you know, one issue, one idea, because it's the most all over the place fucking campaign. It's a
plants.
You know what her career is? Do you know what her career is, though, really? Because I wrote a very early indictment of Liz Warren when they were trying to endorse her, or they were trying to sort of push her to run the draft Warren campaign in 2015. And I'm like, no, 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 no. It was before Bernie even ran, by the way, just taking credit. But what it was corruption. It was, he's cheating. He's cheating. Like, that is the basis of her thing, is that she is a fucking tattletale.
But she's
now, it is true that a lot of people
monitor.
Are cheating. But
she's
instead
a
hall of monitor. Yes, exactly. She's a fucking hall monitor. She's like, it is true that a lot of people are cheating, but instead of being like, well, what if we created a system where that was more egalitarian, where people weren't suffering, she's like, no, I just want to scream at people for cheating. That's the entire basis of her career and her campaign.
But it's like not even, she's even moved past the cheating thing, because like a year ago I'd have been like, yes, the campaign is about like the idea that the system isn't really the problem, but we need like a better middle class buy-in for all this. But it's not even that anymore. It's this fucking bizarre direction where one second she's touting Amy Klobuchar to another second she's like doing a floss dance for a terrified group of children. It's all over the place, but the only unifying thing is she should be president. And her remaining supporters, their only remaining belief, it's like the Hillary 2008 dead enders. That just she alone can be president.
It's a death cult.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's a cargo cult. They fixate on the academic thing of like, she is the most qualified, therefore she should be president, therefore some God hand is going to reach down and just make it so, because it's what's fair.
Here's the thing. You know, in her comments leading up to and post-Nevada caucus, like when she's tried to attack Bernie Sanders, she obviously can't attack him on his policies because like her whole campaign is built on the idea that she wants
pretending to have
the same policies. So what she says is like, I want the same policies, but I'm so much more than a guy that just yells.
No, you're a woman that loses.
Yeah.
Folks, I love women. I just like women that win.
She has this whole line now where she just says that like she's trying to portray this thing that like that Bernie Sanders, he yells a lot, he's too angry, and he won't ever really get anything done because it's just all about him, which is hilarious coming from her, and particularly her supporters, or at least the ones online, have gotten fully Joker-fied as well. Like, they have gotten completely twisted. And the funny thing about that is like, oh, it's like Bernie's making it all about himself. He's trying to say that like, I'm the only one that can like fix your problems. Whereas with me, it's my plans.
I got plans.
Has no ego.
Yeah, well, here's
the
thing.
I just got plans.
Here's the thing though. When you read from the Liz Lads.
Plans.
From the downfall, the bunker, the people in the bunker and downfall. What you get over and over again for someone who says, oh, it's not about me personally. When they talk about why they like Elizabeth Warren or why she must be president, all they can fucking talk about is themselves and their personal connection that they have to her, because she's this like avatar of their life. She's every good quality that's been overlooked in them, and Bernie Sanders is every fucking bad boyfriend or father that they've ever had.
Get over your shit. You are an adult.
And I think the good news is that, you know, I think, you know, if this primary season hasn't conclusively proved that Twitter is only just a kaleidoscope of unmeaning and like a funhouse mirror world where like nobody's on it, nobody gives a fuck. Nobody gives a fuck at all. Definitely not voters.
We have the data, literally no one's on it.
They literally,
except you people.
Yeah. No, and us, because I mean,
not me!
Well,
I'm cool.
Four people on this stage do, but that's because it's fun and we're hopelessly addicted to it.
Well, I spent a lifetime posting, you know? I go where the posts are.
Like we said, she literally lost the poster vote in Nevada. 2-1 to Bernie Sanders. Which is proof positive that if you're, you know, someone online, part of the Warren Lads... and you've spent this whole time complaining about, you know, these uncouth Bernie bros or whatever, or Russian interference or whatever the crap these people talk about online. And they think that's winning them sympathy from other posters. It's not. It's the Bernie posting crew is the one that's actually converting people. Because, one, the posts are great, you know, like way higher median quality of post than any other candidate supporters. And two, because we're having fun. We're not joyless scolds.
You're not fucking scolds. No one likes a fucking scold.
So,
and I do think, too, one more thing. Bernie people know that we have to earn people's trust.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
And Warren is just like, what? I'm here. Worship me.
No, when you read from the people who are like most sickened or aggravated by her failure to catch on in the broader electorate, there's this like plaintive tone of betrayal that nobody but them realizes how perfect and brilliant and like what a great president she would be. And it's like, I'm sorry, like you got to fucking make that case. You got to prove it.
Yeah. They were erased.
Yeah.
What a bunch of fucking snowflakes.
She got erased, okay?
It's like when Bernie ran in 2016, like, you know, I was all in for him. I still am. And like, to a certain degree, that's kind of because I identify certain traits in him that I see in myself. Like he's a grouchy asshole who like doesn't like people and is annoyed all the time.
Triple brand.
But here's the thing though. Like I understood that like, we're like, that didn't, when he lost the primaries or lost states or like the critical mass was never there. I was just like, well, okay, I get it. Like not all my interests are like shared universally. Certainly not in this fucking country.
Not everyone gets it.
Yeah, not everyone gets it. I mean, they are now. They're gonna learn soon. They're gonna learn soon.
They're coming with us. You just need to not lose the faith.
Well, exactly. Yeah. No, but you have to earn it. You have to earn people's it. Trust.
See, that's the thing. Is that
you have
don't...
to sing "You've Lost That Love and Feeling" to her at the bar.
Yeah. They don't think of politics that way. It is not a question of persuasion. It's a question of narrative. And the Warren narrative satisfies them. It makes them feel happy. It makes them feel warmth in their belly, which is why the solution for these people and for the
American
people as well is that we should spend $100 million of federal funds, which is nothing, drop in the hat, rounding error at the Pentagon on a daily basis, spend that to make two super high production value Netflix shows where Mayor Pete and Elizabeth Warren play the president. Like West Wing.
Yes.
And then you could just watch that show.
Yeah.
And then
the rest
that's
of us
it. It's like, it doesn't matter
politics.
To you anyway. You're wealthy. You're a well-off middle-class person.
Yeah.
Your life is going to be basically the same. You might pay higher taxes.
Yeah.
But you're still going to have basically the same life. Either way, you can just watch the show and watch Elizabeth Warren be representing you as president and just shut your fucking mouth about any of the actual politics.
Yeah. All they want is the culture war. Give it to them. We'll take the economy.
Same thing with Trump. All those people get salty if Trump loses and they want to start World War II, second Civil War. You just do a Netflix show where Trump is president, which he would love to do. You don't think he would trade being actual president for being on a TV show where he's president? He would take that deal in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah, but only if it was HBO.
Okay, fine. Well, we'll do it. Whatever.
He can have prestige.
Whatever thing he needs, however level of prestige he requires, we could do it. It's easy.
I would never do Amazon.
And then you've knocked like 30 million people off the voter rolls because they don't care anymore.
Yeah.
They have their politics. They get to watch the TV show where their favorite guy is president.
There is a fourth complementary program to this, and it's not really for the benefit of a population of voters, just for one man, a Truman Show for Joe Biden, where he is president.
See, I thought we could bring back Fishing with John with Joe Biden.
It's a great show.
Fishing with John Owens, but I want the Biden Truman Show so I can be his chief of staff in the Truman Show thing.
And, good afternoon. And who are you people?
I'm like, I've been with you your entire career, sir. that would be a great, great capstone for both me and Joe. Everyone gets what they want. Highly enjoy it.
Would you just like show up on his doorstep and be like, "Hi, I'm your long lost nephew."
Yes.
Could I live in your spare room?
Yeah. It'd be a shame if somebody told me a story about finding some Coca-Cola bottles in their really long car and taking them on a date.
You know what?
With the girl with the longest legs in town.
This is what I'm talking about. We all have daddy issues, but this is how you sublimate them healthfully.
Yes.
You still vote for Bernie.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we should move on here because let's talk a little bit about the media reaction. So, like, how are they going to deal with Bernie? And thus far, they keep cycling through like the same four or five things over and over again. And that's exactly what they're going to keep doing now, but more and more histrionically. Case in point, can we play that Chris Matthews clip? Yeah, which one?
Reading last night about the fall of France in the summer of 1940. And the general, Renault, calls up Churchill and says, it's over. And Churchill said, how can it be? You got the greatest army in Europe. How can it be over? He said, it's over. So I had that suppressed feeling. I can't be as wild as Carville, but he is damn smart. And I think he's damn right on this one.
So that's Chris Matthews comparing Bernie winning to the...
Has anyone done a Photoshop of him into the Pulitzer Prize winning picture of the guy watching the tanks go down the Champs-Élysées going...
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about this. People got very mad at Chris Matthews for this because it appeared like he was comparing...
For the second time, by the way, in two fucking weeks.
It appeared like he was comparing Bernie Sanders winning to the Nazi invasion of France. But here's the thing. I'm gonna give him a little bit of an out here because I know that Chris Matthews and everyone like him, basically the only thing he knows is World War II shit.
Yep.
It's like the only smart, right. Or like only knowledge.
Yeah, Battle of the Late Tank Golf, I'll tell you about that
it's
one.
It's just like, he's one of those guys.
Deborah Halsey.
He's like Tony Soprano. The only like the culture and knowledge he knows about the world is what he learned on the fucking History Channel.
Yeah.
About like, you know.
Audie Murphy.
Rommel, history's greatest general. It's just shit like that in his head. So if he's looking for an analogy or something to compare it to, it's always going to be World War II. So, like, what are some of the other things that have come up with
Mayor Bart? Pete, his campaign really reminds me of Project Paperclip.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, that is a good comparison. All right, so the other thing was Bernie's medical records. Oh, he hasn't released enough of them?
Yeah.
Nobody
who's
clamoring for this, it's not a thing. There is no such thing.
It's, by the way, no one's business that he had to get dick and smallening surgery.
There is
such a thing as too big.
I could not find a pair of pants to fit. Not a Kohl's anyway.
I love about the medical records thing, which, yeah, by the way, not a thing, is the idea that any of these fucking imbecile journalists would know how to read them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you got fucking trained in. You can barely write, and that's supposed to be your job. You're going to read medical records?
Also, because we do not have, like, a fucking actual database of healthcare the way, say, the NHS does. There's no such thing as...
There's no such thing as medical records. Like, a complete unabridged medical record for a single person does not exist. There is nothing that they're... They're just saying, oh, he hasn't released enough. Well, then just, like, ask them.
As well.
What hasn't he released? What do you want to see?
I couldn't find, like, a compile by complete medical records. I've lived... You know, there are so many Planned Parenthoods that I've been to. Like, I'd have to call all of them.
Also, what the fuck is the concern here? If he dies, it's like, okay, that could happen to anybody. Is it like, well, he might have a xenomorph burrowed in his chest, yeah. And they're like, the State of the Union is going to burst out and kill everybody?
I got to say, the track record for presidential candidates who have released personal genetic information has not been very good.
Also, again, who have been our best presidents? Okay.
William FDR, Henry Harrison.
FDR.
Yeah.
FDR.
I'd like to see his full medical records.
Fucking medical records, as Alex said. Yeah. Let's be honest. Lincoln had some kind of genetic thing. Klinefelters or whatever. You're not supposed to be that tall back then.
He had a bullet in his head.
All right, we got to keep him moving on these ones.
I see the problem here.
We got to keep him moving on these. The other one that's coming up now is his three houses. And this one is great.
I think about the three houses. And this one is so great.
And this one is great because it's Michael fucking Bloomberg bringing it up. You could have a scroll as long as the original On the Road manuscript. You couldn't get to half of the fucking properties this asshole owns. All right, the next one, this is of the new ones, because we all know about the Bernie Bros and all that shit, and then we honeymooned in the Soviet Union.
Wait till he gets
in Glasnost era Soviet Union. This is not like he was, you know, hanging out with Beria, you know, in Lubyanka prison, just capping political prisoners.
No, that was Bloomberg.
Yeah, Bloomberg would have a lot to talk about with Beria.
Oh, that's for sure. This next one is like, this is truly the last refuge of the cable news scoundrel. And that is when people who were up until, I don't know, 8 or 9 months ago, diehard neoconservative or libertarian ghouls. These are people who, like, the Iraq war is line one on their, like, Hague indictment. these people are all saying now, you know, I'm a never Trumper, but if Bernie Sanders is the Democratic nominee, I'm just, you know, I'm speaking for myself and my 12 friends, all who are also war criminals. You know,
who also go to that armory.
You know, I just think it's going to be really hard for us to vote for the Democratic nominee if it's Bernie Sanders. To which I say, who fucking cares? Fuck off. No one asked you in the first place. Let's go. Vote for Trump. Fuck off. Like, we know you all did it last time. You're just lying about it now. So fuck off. Nobody gives a shit if you're on TV saying, oh, just, I'm not going to vote for the Democrats if Bernie Sanders is the nominee. What leverage do you have here?
He's going to lose Boat Shoes, Rhode Island, and fucking Raytheon Acres, Northern Virginia.
You will lose me and all my friends. Paul Wolfowitz, Dracula, Sidney Pollack from Eyes Wide Shut.
He's going to get creamed in the little St. James primary. Yeah.
It's a very important satellite caucus.
All right. Here's the new one, though. And San Diego, trust me, if you think the media has gone insane leading up to this point, Ooh, boy, you are in for a treat in the next couple of weeks, especially if Bernie Sanders keeps continuing to win, which we know he will.
Probably will.
It's, they are
going... If we do our jobs.
If all goes according to his plan, if we're following the plan, which you all should be, they're going to go even more insane. And evidence of that is the new big thing about Bernie is Russia. Russia. Russia is helping. Russia is interfering in the election to help Bernie Sanders. To which I say, you know, if that's true, good. I'll take all the help we can get.
Yeah. Now, who gives a shit?
We fucking interfere in everyone else's elections. It's fucking about time.
Yeah, thanks, people. Yeah, Judge.
It's amazing that anyone would interfere in your elections when you make the entire fucking world your business.
Yeah. So, Russia.
Hell, people in other countries should be able to vote for the American president.
They should.
Here's the thing,
they
though.
Really
this was like a day before the Nevada caucus. The Washington Post came out with a fucking article about how, like, oh, intelligence has briefed the Sanders campaign a month ago that Russia is intervening on his behalf. And you read this fucking article, and just like all of the shit about Donald Trump in 2016, you read these articles until your eyes bleed. Try to find the paragraph or line where they tell you exactly how they're doing that.
Yeah, well, they did.
And you can't fucking find it. What are they doing to help him? Creating Facebook groups?
You're telling me that Hoteps Bots. For Trump didn't clinch the election in 2016?
I like
that. That was actually a fun moment, though. I do remember when we figured out what the trolls were, and it was like, you know, some guy in Siberia trying to figure out what a hotep was, which was adorable. And frankly, if you fell for it, you had it coming.
So I like the Russian help, because who would you rather have on your side, the DNC or someone who knows how to win an election?
I mean, yeah, when this is all done and Pod Save America is replaced by their Russian counterparts, Evgengi. No, it'll all be worth it.
So, I mean, I feel like, you know, if you thought we weren't going to gloat tonight, well, you're listening to the wrong podcast.
Yeah, if you thought... If you thought an independently produced podcast made up of six members, including their producers, some from Midwestern states and others from New York and other major metropolitan centers, couldn't come to this stage to gloat tonight, you are proof otherwise.
Oh, I do want to say this one thing about the Russia thing. The Bernie campaign, you saw this on the debate, had the absolute smartest response to this. They sent out a press release where Bernie says, you know, and by the way, These Bernie bros I keep hearing about who are doing online hijinks, you know, maybe that's part of this Russian disinformation yes. plot. I think you guys should all, if you're a true resistance patriot, you should look into this.
Yeah.
You should be really focused on these important things.
Bernie bros are the only Twitter accounts that aren't Russian bots, really. They're not Russian bots, too.
They're really
trying to sow discord in the Democratic Party.
Keep going.
It's really good jujitsu because I can't tell you how many times someone has accused me of being a robot. They already think they're surrounded by robots.
I mean, yeah, just an intermission right now. I would do the crossing my arms.
A little bit of Euro Cossack.
I would do the crossing my arms and kicking thing, but I'm simply too weak.
It's a week until Super Tuesday, and if you're a supporter of Super Tuesday, yeah. If you're a supporter of Elizabeth Warren or Pete Buttigieg or Michael Bloomberg or Joe Biden or whoever, the most important thing you can do right now is to go on Twitter and write down all the screen names of suspected Russian robots and then share those around in, make a Slack or something.
Or Robotniks, if you will.
Spend 15 hours a day doing that. That's the most important thing for your candidate in the home stretch.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I will definitely gloat, and I think we all deserve to take another huge victory lap over this because one of the only fucking media platforms that never gave any credence to this Russia bullshit, even when it was directed at Donald Trump.
It's true.
Not only did I not give any credence to it, I ignored it entirely. I don't even understand it. I don't fucking care.
We still do not know who Lev Parnas is.
All right, so check this out.
We refuse. We will never.
I will never know who Lev Parnas is, motherfuckers.
This is one thing we will promise to you. We will never learn. We will never learn who Lev Parnas is.
As far as I can know, he's fucking sells electronics on 57th Street.
So Glenn Simpson forwarded an email to Lisa Page stating that Teddy Fudgegrams had knowledge of the email from Yogangi Gwinkwin, and that's just, it's only 10 p.m.
Here's the thing, though, it shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone of the Democratic to liberal, progressive to left or socialist perspective, that this Russia shit was always only going one place, and that is being turned against you at the earliest fucking convenience.
Because what it is, at the end of the day, like we will talk about it, it's like the people who directed and have directed all of the Russia stories from the beginning are people in the... I know it's now, it seems like conspiracy shit because Trump and the Q idiots say it, but literally the deep state. Like CIA agents, fucking NSA people, like embedded bureaucrats in the national security infrastructure. Those are the guys who came out and said, he's the Trump, he's buddying up with Putin. They're the ones who dropped the dime on the Ukraine thing because, Trump's holding up this weapons shipment to Ukraine. We need to get that to the Babi Yar Reenactment Society and to the Osama bin Laden Brigade in Syria.
Yeah.
We can't allow this to happen. Like, at every point, these have all been directed by the intelligence community, which means that you don't think they're going to fucking turn on a fucking leftist alternative for president?
Here's the thing. Russia has always been the Judas goat for the Democratic Party. That they can sacrifice and put out there, just throw it out there to enforce discipline, to cover for their own incompetence and failure, but most importantly, make sure that no one outside of, the establishment parameters ever, ever gets put on in this country because they can always say Russia did it. And what they say about when you try to parse what Russia is actually doing according to these news articles, they all say Russia is exploiting the distrust, division, and racism that exists in America to divide our country. All they're doing is describing the symptoms that are the output of our political system that has been that way for hundreds of fucking years. You're describing the state of life in this fucking country. Russia did that. Russia's making it worse.
They're saying this isn't fair because the chickens have come home to roost.
Yeah.
It's 100% Marge Simpson saying it's true, but he shouldn't say it.
Russians are wrong to point out all of these awful inequalities and crises.
I sewed. I didn't know I'd have to reap later.
Yeah.
So it is a cover for the Democratic Party for, I'm sorry, their own, frankly, right-wing agenda. It is a cover for the right wing of the Democratic Party, and it should not come as a shock to anyone that they're now accusing Bernie Sanders of being the beneficiary of some kind of nefarious Russian fucking plot.
And you know it's bad because it's Russian and they're not human.
Oh yeah, and they're also communist as well.
Yes, yeah.
and so is Bernie Sanders.
Fucking, it's all thrown out there. Yeah,
yeah. There's an inhuman quality to it, unlike when AIPAC does it. That's just part of the democracy.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta say, it's. I just can't imagine how any of this is gonna be received by a regular person who spent 4 years being drilled in their head by the mainstream media that the Russians want Trump to be president and the Russians helped him get elected and are protecting him. And then they're like, yeah, but also the other guy he's running against him too.
Well, no, I mean the narrative
like,
goes,
you're a maniac.
No, yeah, well, no, the narrative goes that Russia is helping Bernie Sanders because Russia wants the weakest general election candidate against Trump, which is, to that I can say, like, what, did they help Hillary Clinton too?
No. First of all, Russians are actually good at chess.
Yeah.
So, no.
And here's the thing. As far as the general election goes, and here's the other big thing that they're doing right now, is they're trying to convince everyone that it's just too big a risk. Like, Sanders will lose in a general election, and the Democrats are, you know, they're committing seppuku right now on the altar of purity and actually appealing to voters. You must never do that. Here's the thing, though. At the end of the day, I don't care if he's a socialist, whatever the fuck you want to call him, Donald Trump won because he had the dumb luck of running against probably the most hated and untrustworthy politician in America. One of the most disliked people, one of the most widely regarded as like dishonest, unlikable, and corrupt for fucking good reason. And I'm sorry, you're telling me that when he runs against, by every national opinion poll, the most well-liked and trusted politician in America, he's gonna get over on him? Sorry, I don't give a shit. It's not going to happen. You should feel fucking super confident about a general. I mean, it'll be close, like every modern election is. But here's the thing. Oh, America will never vote for a socialist. Bernie Sanders had the best fucking response to that during that debate. They said, this poll said that 60% of America won't vote for a socialist. What else did the poll say? I'm winning. That's what the poll said. So the idea that America won't vote for a socialist, guess what? They already fucking are. In Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and California next. South Carolina, California, Texas. He's going to run the fucking table on it. So don't tell me that Americans aren't going to vote for a socialist because they already have.
Yeah. Okay. They continue to vote for him. I honestly think the underestimation of American voters by kind of a right-wing middle class of a Democratic Party is one of the most absurdly out-of-touch things you see in a modern country. Because if they were smart, they would at least lie about what they're trying to do. Because they aren't even trying to trick people anymore into believing that the institutions that they represent actually support the policies that people are in favor of. I mean, they've done this study like millions of times where they're like, well, you know, we've polled major media outlets and politicians on how they feel about basic social democratic reforms. Medicare for all, childcare, free higher ed, expanding public housing, all kinds of stuff. All of the people in charge, all of the people who consider themselves the gatekeeper of the left wing of politics are to the right of the average populace. It's almost like that's how they got there.
Yeah. Yes.
The thing that the leadership consoles himself with is the idea that, well, there is an electorate that you have to deal with, and that's unchanging. You know, it's like the richest half of the population, they're the only ones who vote, which means they're largely well-off, they're largely suburban, they don't want to pay too much taxes, they want to control over their schools, all that kind of stuff. And so they're inherently reactionary, even though half the population doesn't vote. And of course, the Bernie thing is, hey, get those people involved. And James Carville was on TV melting down after Nevada last night and said, I'll tell you what are you going to do? You say you're going to expand the electorate, you include them all voters.
That's like believing in climate denial. That's ridiculous. That's like being a blind crocodile in the hen house.
They're so mad. They never even considered it.
The reason that they say that is because they have made it their business to ensure that everybody who's run for president is a Democrat in the last 40 years has nothing to offer but fucking Mayor Pete-level bromides and horse shit. I was like, of course people have turned out. They have nothing to fucking engage them with. But fucking Nevada is an example that doesn't have to be the case. The number of people we heard about who literally never voted before and showed up to fucking caucus, which is way harder and more annoying than voting, was absurd.
It sucks.
Not only showed up to vote, but people who showed up to, like, figure out the caucus system better than any political professional and become precinct captains and fucking, like, running a whole fucking caucus. I mean, these are our people. These are fail-brain internet people. All right, San Diego, we got to wrap it up for tonight. Before I go, I just want to say, please, please, keep making them mad. Keep making them mad. You're doing it. You're doing it. So, like I said, the state of the race now, we've got South Carolina coming up next. It is very close between Biden and Sanders. Biden just got the big Jim Clyburn endorsement in South Carolina. Biden definitely has the... the institutional support.
The buy-in, yeah.
He has the buy-in of the South Carolina political system. He does not have the organization. He does not have the organization anywhere close to what Bernie Sanders does. So let's keep fucking going.
Keep going.
If Sanders is on the verge. He could win the first four states outright.
He won the first three.
Which
That's
is, again,
unprecedented.
Has never happened before. And if you're looking for a fucking exclamation point, South Carolina would be it. So, like I said, the plan is working if you keep working. We canvass in Nevada, keep doing it. And here's the thing, California is really fucking important. Bernie Sanders cannot just win California. He has got to run up the score. He has got to blow out California the way he just did Nevada. Do you want the shitty desert state next door to look better than you guys? No, that's right. The polls look good, but keep pouring it on them. Pouring it on. 30, 20, 30 point blowout.
Relentless.
All the fucking delegates going to Bernie Sanders, and that way they have no shot of even fucking with him at the convention. So, to that end, I think the San Diego for Bernie people are tabling here at the event tonight. If you haven't done so already, please sign up with them. Give you your social security number, mother's maiden name, name of your first pet, all that good shit, all your passwords. Whatever you're doing, you could always do more. Get on those phones. Canvas in San Diego. Canvas in South Carolina. If you can, get on a plane to South Carolina. Southern California, Northern California, California. It's all there for you to take. You guys just got to do it and keep fucking doing it. San Diego, you guys have been awesome tonight. One more thing before we go. We always have to thank the man behind the ones and the twos, Chris Wade. Let's give it up for him. And let's also give it up for Chris Wade's mom and uncle in the audience tonight. San Diego, you guys rock. We're Chapo Trap House. Good night. Let's fucking win this thing.
It was a Friday night, I woke alone to get the feeling right. We started making out and she took off my pants, but then I turned on the TV, and that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23, and I still more abuse my TV shows. What the hell is ADD? My friends say I should act my age.